Over weeks, the excitement, wondering whether I was going to get that cricket bat that I was looking forward to, or maybe that push bike. We grew up in Papua New Guinea, but every 2 years we would make the pilgrimage to Melbourne, and usually involved a boat trip to Sydney, and then a train ride from Sydney to Melbourne. It was a very exciting time, and we would get to see our cousins every 2 years. And Christmas Day, it went off like a cracker, I can tell you. It was fantastic. But I mean, just soaking up the atmospherics of Christmas is something that I guess you can only really experience through the eyes of a child. As you get older, of course, things start to change and Christmas loses its sparkle a little bit. There are actually some people who find Christmas a bit of a chore. And they just want to get it over and done with as soon as possible and get on with the Boxing Day test, or maybe just to relax and enjoy a few days of holidays. But in the busyness of life, sometimes it's easy for us to forget what Christmas is really all about. And it's fair to say that in the 21st century we have so commercialised Christmas that it is difficult, even for Christians sometimes, to remind ourselves that there is more to Christmas, much, much more to Christmas than what we find when we watch television or we go to Chermside or drive around the streets. When we look into the biblical account, we get a rather different perspective. And this morning what we're going to do is we're going to look at two people who had a very unexpected meeting with the baby Jesus. And for them, this chance meeting with the baby Jesus was the moment of a lifetime. And we've just read about those two people in the reading we've had this morning. First of all, there is Simeon. And here we have a man. He was probably an old man, although it doesn't actually say that. But we know that for year after year after year, he had been waiting and longing to actually see the Messiah. On this particular day, he just happened to be in the temple as Mary and Joseph walked in with their new baby. And they were there to consecrate him to the Lord, which was required by the Old Testament law of all firstborn sons. And they were there to offer a sacrifice to thank God for the gift that he had given to them. And that particular day, Simeon was prompted by the Holy Spirit to go into the temple, and would you believe it, at that moment, he met up with the baby Jesus. Look at verses 25 to 27. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. Obviously, Simeon was a godly man, and we are told that the Holy Spirit was on him, and as part of his devotion to God, he was a man who would have known thoroughly the Old Testament scriptures. And he had read in those scriptures there the prophecies and the promises that are contained, which are pointing to the fact that the day was coming when God was going to send the Messiah, the Deliverer. And day after day, I guess he would have woken up with the thought, maybe today will be the day when that Messiah appears. And it seems that he had been convinced by the Holy Spirit that he wouldn't die until he'd actually seen the Messiah with his own two eyes. And that day, all of these hopes and dreams that had been flooding his life year after year after year became reality. Look at verse 28. Simeon took him in his arms and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marvelled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Lord, my life is complete. You can take me. I'm ready to die. My final wish has been granted. God's great salvation plan has now been revealed. And it's not just for the people of Israel. It's actually for the whole world. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And as Simeon is standing there with the parents, he can't contain himself, and he takes the baby from his mother's arms. And there he is cradling the baby Jesus, and he's looking down at the baby Jesus as he's making these wonderful prophetic statements over him. And then he turns to Mary and Joseph and specifically focuses on Mary. And he gives Mary a word about the destiny of Jesus. He's talking about Jesus being the one who is going to be the divider of all peoples. He's going to cause the falling of some and the rising of others, which is a clear suggestion to the fact that one day, as a result of Jesus' life and ministry, there's going to be a judgment which is going to come. And he strongly hints at that when he talks about a sword piercing Mary's soul as well too. And of course we know that is a reference to the cross, as Mary is standing there looking up at her son who is being crucified for the sins of the world. But why was Simeon such a happy man that day? Well, it tells us in verse 30. He says, for my eyes have seen your salvation. And this is a very personal statement here. My eyes have seen your salvation. For years and years he had been trusting God's promise to send the Saviour. And now his faith had become sight. Here he is gazing down at that Saviour in his arms. The birth of Jesus was the reassurance that he needed for his own salvation. It was personal. And through the inner convicting of the Holy Spirit, as he looks down at that baby there, he becomes absolutely convinced without a shadow of doubt that this baby that he's holding in his arms is going to be the Saviour of the world. His Saviour, but the Saviour of all. And for him to have this personal encounter with the Saviour meant that his biggest questions had finally been answered. His doubts had been removed. He was content in the knowledge that he himself was a saved man. And because of that, he was ready to go into eternity with peace and with joy. Somehow or other, his life was now complete because he had met the living Jesus. And Christmas, let's be clear about that. Christmas is God's answer to all the Simeons of the world who need reassurance about the reality of salvation. It's as though for Simeon that day, the final piece of the jigsaw puzzle of his life had been put into place. And it's like that for everybody who has a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. The name Jesus, as we've been reminded this morning, means Saviour. Jesus came primarily into this world to save people from their sins. And just like Simeon could say that day, "Mine eyes have seen your salvation." So everybody who puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ can say the same thing. People today put their hope in many different things. Things that are supposed to fulfill their lives and make them feel complete, make them die happy. What are those things that people put their hope in? Well, maybe a new car or a new home or a new boat or whatever other toy you can think of. If I have that one thing in my life, I'm going to be able to die happy. Really? Maybe an overseas trip. Maybe a new relationship. Perhaps an affair on the side. That's what's going to make me happy. Maybe some big financial windfall on the stock market, or maybe climbing to the very top in the company that you work for. If I get to the top there, I'll have made it. I'll be happy. I'll be able to die a satisfied person. Really? Last weekend we finished a long series of messages from the book of Isaiah. A couple of weeks ago, I think it was Michael, preached on Isaiah 55. Let me read the first three verses here. "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend your money on what is not bread and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. Come, all you who are thirsty. Why spend your money on what doesn't satisfy you? Why labour for those things that don't satisfy? You see, only an encounter with the living God truly satisfies. And that's what Simeon experienced that day in the temple at Jerusalem. But he wasn't the only one. There was somebody else who happened to turn up that morning. An old lady called Anna. Look at verse 36. "There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. And coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem." You've got to try and imagine the scene here. You've got old Simon there, Simeon there, and he's rocking the baby in his arms and he's looking down and he's prophesying over him. And at that moment, 84-year-old Anna turns up. I'm kind of guessing that they knew each other. Anna's whole life, or for at least 60 years or so anyway, had revolved around the temple. And I'm guessing that most of Simeon's life revolved around the temple as well. But anyway, as she's watching Simeon there, cradling this baby, she couldn't contain herself. And there she is, just praising God and thanking God for this special baby, and then telling everybody around her what he was going to do and what he was going to be like and what his identity really was. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. In a sense, you could say Anna was the first evangelist. She's seen this baby. She's agreed with Simeon as to the identity of this baby, the one who is God's Messiah, the one that they had all been longing for and waiting for down through the centuries. The Jews had different ways of talking about the mission of the Messiah. Sometimes they talked about the consolation of Israel, and that's the term that is used in verse 25. Verse 38, it talks about the redemption of Jerusalem. And devout Jews talked about this Messiah who is going to come as the consolation of Israel, or the one who is going to be the redemption of Jerusalem. They're just different terms that the devout Jews used in reference to the Messiah. But here we have Anna, who has seen this baby with her own two eyes and is running around the place saying, come and have a look, come and have a look. The promised Messiah has been born and here he is. I mean, you wonder what people must have thought of her. Oh, I mean, she's an old lady. Has she got dementia? Is she okay? Well, she was certainly okay. And again, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, no doubt, you know, she has come to this absolute, you know, joyful conviction that she has seen the Messiah with her own two eyes, and like Simeon, that all her expectations and dreams in that moment were being fulfilled. As I think about the story of Simeon and Anna, it strikes me as just a little bit unusual that Luke chose to include this story in his account. Matthew, Mark, and John don't mention Simeon and Anna, but Luke does. I can understand the Bethlehem part of the Christmas story, and the barn and the manger and the angels and the shepherds and the wise men bringing gifts, those sorts of things. That part of the Christmas story sort of fits together fairly seamlessly in my thinking. But here we have just two elderly people going about their business. It's just another day for them. They go to the temple day after day after day. That's their habit. That's their routine. That's their religious duty. They always did it. But this day was different. This was a day which was specifically arranged by God. It was arranged for Simeon and Anna personally. It was also arranged for Mary and Joseph personally. And it was also arranged for those people who were in the temple that day, anywhere within earshot of Anna, as she excitedly ran around telling them about Jesus. And, you know, I was thinking, isn't God amazing? The way that he just so unpredictably at times works. You got this simple little story, and yet there is so much contained in this little story to encourage our faith. I just want to mention three things as we wind this up that I think we can learn from this story of Simeon and Anna. And the first is this, that we can trust God to fulfill his promises. We can trust God to fulfill his promises. Simeon and Anna had the Old Testament scriptures and they believed them. There were many Jews, I think, who had given up on God. But they hadn't. And even in old age, they were still looking forward to God fulfilling his promises. They were trusting God's word, the words of the prophets about the coming of the Messiah. They had hope, even after hundreds of years of waiting for these messianic promises to be fulfilled. And, you know, as I was thinking about that, my thoughts turned to Hebrews chapter 11, which talks about the Old Testament saints. It actually calls them in chapter 11, verse 2, the ancients. This is what the ancients were commended for, and I sort of had a bit of a chuckle to myself. I thought about that. But, I mean, there were there were Old Testament saints who lived with the forward-looking expectation that God would one day fulfill his promises, and they clung tenaciously to those promises. And if you read Hebrews chapter 11, it mentions many of these people by name: Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Joseph, Moses, Gideon, David, the prophets themselves. By faith, these people were looking forward to that day when the Messiah was going to come, when God's promises to them would be fulfilled. They didn't actually live to see with their own two eyes the fulfillment of those promises. Simeon and Anna did, but they didn't. But that's okay, because that's what faith is all about. It's trusting that God, who has given us his word, gives it to us with a guarantee, and he will deliver. And I guess you could say that Christmas is a reminder to us that we can trust God to fulfill his promises. This is what it says about faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. We need to live our lives by faith, trusting that God's word is true and every word of it will be fulfilled. I think the second thing that we learn from Simeon and Anna is that to meet Christ personally is to be truly satisfied. Jesus didn't come into the world to give us all the hype that we call Christmas these days. He came into the world to save people from their sin. And in the process, of course, of doing that, he had to then go to the cross on our behalf. He had to suffer rejection and humiliation. He suffered and he died in the place of sinners so that people like Simeon and Anna and you and me might be made right with God. I don't think Simeon fully comprehended all of this as he was looking down at the baby in his arms that day. But the Holy Spirit was able to assure him that through this baby Jesus, everything was going to be accomplished that would be necessary for his salvation to be certain. And because of that, he could die a happy man. We're even more privileged than Simeon and Anna because we stand on the other side of the cross. And we know that that baby grew up and hung on that cross in our place in order that we might be forgiven of our sins and made right with God and enter into that relationship. And we can then die happy, fulfilled, satisfied, knowing that our salvation is complete. About 2 or 3 years ago, a young man by the name of Nabil Qureshi, who was born of a Pakistani family, passed away in America. He died in his early 30s, and he was a very devout Muslim who, in his religious fervour, was very happy to defend his faith against all comers, including Christians. And during his university days, he studied to be a doctor and graduated as a doctor. But during his university days, he met a Christian guy who became a good friend of his. And this Christian was also a debater, and they used to have many robust discussions together, trying to sort each other's faith out. And over a period of about 3 or 4 years, Nabil Qureshi gradually started to question some of the things which he'd always accepted as part of his Muslim faith. Eventually, after a very, very long process of serious searching and discussing with imams and Muslim scholars, he eventually became a Christian. And as he was a sort of a very devout Muslim, so he became a very devout Christian and a very keen evangelist. After he graduated as a doctor, he commenced further studies and did two master's degrees in religious studies, and eventually became a speaker for Ravi Zacharias Ministries, which is a very well-known organisation which defends the Christian faith on the public stage. He married and had a child, and then when he was about to start a doctorate at Oxford University, he was diagnosed with esophageal cancer. And he died, as I said, in his early 30s, a couple of years ago. In the process of going through his chemotherapy and other treatment towards the end of his life, he kept a blog, a video blog. And each week he would be interviewed, and those interviews were put up on the internet. And I think they're still there today, so if you're interested in having a look at them. But you see there a man who had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And he died a happy man. I mean, from a human point of view, it's an absolute tragedy. But he packed so much into his young life. You can read his life story in the book, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. And he wrote two other books as well. And I'm sure he would have written many more if God had allowed him the time. But the thing that really strikes you as you read this man's story and as you see him, even in his hospital bed, describing what it means for him to know Christ personally, it is very, very powerful. Nabil Qureshi, his name is. Have you ever had a personal encounter with Jesus? I don't mean have you held Jesus in your arms like Simeon did that day. What I mean is, have you trusted Jesus personally as your Saviour? Do you know Jesus as the Lord of your life? Because the message of Christmas is the best possible message for people who want to have hope and want to have certainty in their lives. Are you right with God? It may well be that you're sitting here this morning and deep down in your heart you know that there's something missing. There's a piece of the puzzle of your life which is missing. And I want to suggest to you this morning that that piece is a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Don't waste your life looking for what does not satisfy and what cannot satisfy you. You need to be able to say, I know Jesus personally. I've encountered him through the Word of God, through the Scriptures. I've encountered him through the experiences of my life when he has been leading me and guiding me and in many ways interfering with my life. You see, this is the reason why Jesus came. He came so that we might come to know God in the flesh, God in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's what Christmas is really all about. And the third thing I just want to suggest this morning that we can learn from Simeon Anna is that when we have Christ, we don't have to fear the future. I think Christians should be the most hopeful, the most optimistic people in the world. And it's not because the world is in great shape, because it's not. It's not because crime rates are going down, because they're not, they're going up. It's not because technology is solving all the problems of the world or medicine's curing all the diseases of the world, because they're not. But we can have hope and confidence as we look to the future, because we have a God who has given himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And he says, you can trust me because I know where I'm taking you and I know where this world is going. We have the same God today as the God who revealed himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ back at that first Christmas. And he's inviting us to put our hope and our trust in him. And one day, the Bible tells us, he's coming back. And we can be just as confident in the fact that Jesus is going to come again as Simeon and Anan were about his coming for the first time. Friends, I want to encourage you this morning to trust in the promises of God and of his word. The Bible is God's word to us, and friends, it is true. And the coming of Jesus at that first Christmas actually confirms this. We must trust Jesus personally. The whole reason why Jesus came in the first place was so that you and I might be able to put our personal faith in him. And when we do that, he does forgive us of our sins. He does accept us as his children. He gives us peace and certainty through death and into eternity. And of course, knowing Christ then gives us hope and joy and optimism as we face the future. We don't know exactly what the future is going to look like for us personally, but we can trust the God who knows that future. Let's do that this morning. Let's pray. Our Father, we rejoice today as we remember once again the story of the Saviour's birth. Lord, what a moment in time. A moment when your Son became one of us. But he came into this world so that he might die in our place and take on himself the punishment of our sin. Oh, let us never forget why he came into the world at that first Christmas. And Father, we just pray this morning that you'd fill us with that same hope and joy that Simeon and Anna had. And Lord, I just want to pray this morning for every one of us here today that we might have the certainty of knowing that that we too have met the living Christ as we put our trust in him. Well, Father, fill us with that peace and that satisfaction of knowing that whatever might happen to us now or in the future, Lord, we are safe forever because of Jesus. Oh, hear our prayer and bless us as we celebrate Christmas this year, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.